Tonight's edition of Powering Michigan's Future comes to you live from the Yankee Tavern on Mackinac Island during the 2014 Mackinac Policy Conference. I'm Ken Rogalski, ready to go for an action-backed hour. Tonight, we'll be talking about many proposed initiatives for our region. We'll talk with leaders from the area about what's being done to move the Detroit area and Michigan forward. Our guests tonight include Macomb County Executive Mark Heckel, Barbara Rossman, President and CEO of Henry Ford Macomb Hospital, Dan Tripp, Executive Vice President of the National Electrical Contractors Association, and Michael Richard, Business IBEW Local 58, and many, many more. So, stay tuned for WJR's Powering Michigan's Future, live from the 2014 Mackinac Policy Conference, only on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Powering Michigan's Future here on WJR. We are broadcasting live this evening from the Yankee Rebel Tavern on Astor Street, right off Main Street, just near the main docks in beautiful downtown and historic Mackinac Island. Thanks for joining us tonight. We have a really great show. Dan Tripp, Executive Vice President of the Southeastern Michigan Chapter of the National Electrical Contractors Association, NECA, and Michael Richard, Business Manager for IBEW, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 58, sponsors of our show. Gentlemen, welcome. Good to see you again. It's hard to believe a whole year has gone by so quickly.
Oh, yeah. Great to see you. Great to be back here.
Dan, good to see you, too.
You're right. It's a little scary how fast the time goes by.
I'll tell you, the older you get, you know.
Yeah.
Things are getting better out there. How are you guys reading the market? Are we better off this year than we were last year, business-wise?
Yeah, things are definitely looking better, and we're certainly looking for a stronger third and fourth quarter of 2014 also, so that's good. You know, we got big projects coming up. We're looking forward to the bridge moving forward, the new arena in Detroit, and who can't be excited about all the development and everything, all the renovations that's going on downtown?
I mean, you drive through the neighborhood, you see streetlights going up, buildings going up, lights coming down. Dan, this is going to be an exciting time for you guys, too.
This is a really good time to be in the electrical industry from every perspective. I mean, as stated, the market's picking up. One of the things going on now, the baby boomers are starting to move toward retirement, and opportunities in our industry continue to grow from both the professional end, entrepreneurial end, as well as the installation end for electricians. If you think about how much technology and data goes into every building that's put up these days, and even older buildings that are remodeled, the future of our industry is pretty doggone bright. The world is wired, and that's not going to slow down anytime soon.
In more ways than one. You know, here at the conference, there's been a lot of talk the past couple of days about STEM, science, technology, engineering, and management. But back in the old days, when I went to school, it was called co-op. It was called skilled trades. And we've been hearing a lot about skilled trades. Kids come out of college now with debt. They can't find a job. But yet, there's this little magical thing out there called skilled trades in the electrical business and just about any other business where a kid can learn a trade, go to college, the employer will pay for it, and they get a job, and they have no debt at the end.
Oh, yeah, there's definitely been a lot of talk about it, and that's a good thing, but one thing that kind of, you know, I sit back and laugh about is that, you know, some people are just now noticing, and this new apprentice model from Germany. Well, you know, we've been doing it for almost 100 years, and we bring a new apprentice in, and he starts working and getting a paycheck from week one. We put him with an employer. He starts his schooling. He starts learning on the job, which is about 90% of the education he'll get. And the great thing is, over that five-year apprenticeship, by the end, the average apprentice will earn, during that 5 years, about $150,000 in his pocket, and then about another $200,000 will go into benefits for him. He'll start earning his pension. He'll start creating that good retirement, that path to retirement.
And there's so much to be said about having a mentor, somebody who takes you under your wing and shows you, because you can read it out of a book, but when you get to see it and do it with your own hands, it just doubles the effort. It doubles the productivity.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, the one thing we've always prided ourselves in Southeast Michigan and Local 58 and our partners at NECA is, bar none, we've got the best apprenticeship training program in the world. And we produce the best electricians. There's no doubt about it. And it's because of that relationship.
Now, this is the Earn While You Learn program that you guys get?
Absolutely. From day one, our apprentices come in and they start working. They get a job. They get put with an employer. And they start earning from day one.
Dan, how does it go through your program? How is it funded? How does it work?
The funding is basically through the collective bargaining agreement for every hour that every electrician in IBEW Local Union 58 jurisdiction works. 58 cents is contributed to our training fund. And that training fund sponsors our program. We spend about $2 million a year training our electricians. Tuition is minimal, but there is a small tuition, and there's a startup cost of about $1,500 to start, and we charge our apprentices about $400 a year in tuition, which doesn't even come near the cost. It's just a matter of commitment on their part. And you earn a living and benefits while you're doing it. I mean, that's the really amazing part that people don't really understand or get to learn a whole lot about. It's a wonderful deal, and it's a great career path.
I mean, today, this is not your father's electrical.
No.
You just don't wire a building today the way you did 30 years ago. I mean, it is so high-tech. There are so many different ways that it can be done, and you guys show it all to us.
Not only that, the technology continues to grow and expand, not only technologically, but from the green energy point of view, retrofits. I mean, the opportunities, the expansion, the continuing challenge and educational requirements all make this probably one of the finest careers that a young person could seek today. Plus, there are about 39 to 40 separate career paths that can be pursued.
And you guys are keeping a handle on all the changes that are coming up, all the new technologies, all the new inventions coming up, too, to make sure these kids who learn while they earn are ready to go.
We are leaders in that field.
Michael, how do you feel about career paths? How do they come out of an apprenticeship when they're done?
Well, the best thing about that is every one of our apprentices, when they're done with their program, they got a journeyman license in their pocket, which enables them to go anywhere in the United States and Canada to work. And it opens the door for so many different career paths in construction supervision, foreman, project managers, estimators, and even electrical engineers and data specialists. So that's the opportunities are limitless. And part of that is, like Dan says, we stay in front and ahead of the industry. So when our apprentices come out of that program, they have the absolute best training up to date, and it puts them in such a great position to move forward in their career. The future is limitless for them.
Explain journeyman.
A journeyman electrician, and you know, the standards that we have is in the state of Michigan is a minimum of 8,000 hours on the job, and then a graduation from an accredited apprenticeship program. So your journey level for us is 8,000 hours on the job, a five-year apprenticeship program where you do 2,000 hours of training in the classroom, and then you become a journeyman electrician. In another 2 years, you're eligible to take that master electrician and even take your career further, opening more doors as a master electrician.
Amen to that. Dan, Mike, before we run out of time, how do you feel about the rest of the year, the rest of this year, and the beginning of next year as far as business is concerned for young people trying to get into this operation?
I think right now it's a good time to start thinking about it because the opportunities in and around southeastern Michigan are starting to grow and expand. As Mike said earlier, you know, we're looking forward to the bridge and the Associated Plaza, the arena job. I think the biggest sign of prosperity that's in front of us right now is Mr. Gilbert buying up most of downtown, and I'm pretty sure he's going to make it a pretty livable place, and it's going to have to be wired, and it's going to have to be supplied with data, and we're there to do it.
Mike, how do you see the last couple of months of the year and the beginning of next year looking for your guys?
It's certainly shaping up, and like I said, I'm looking forward to an even stronger third and fourth quarter, and that'll carry us through the winter into next year, and again, as we pick up more, and more's on the table, that means we need more apprentices to come in, more opportunities, and these young folks got to start thinking about it.
That's very well put. Dan Tripp from the Vice President of the Southeastern Michigan Chapter of the National Electrical Contractors Association, thank you. Michael Richards from the IBEW Local 58, thank you for joining us tonight on Powering Michigan's Future here on WJR. Back with more right after this. Welcome back to WJR's Powering Michigan. Live from the 2014 Mackinac Policy Conference here on Mackinac Island, we are broadcasting live from the beautiful and quaint and very tasty Yankee Rebel Tavern on Astor Street, just off of Main Street. Thank you all for hosting us tonight. You've done a fabulous job. Welcome back to Powering Michigan's Future, and welcome back to Mark Heckle, who makes Mackinac Island his home away from Macomb. How you doing?
I'm doing good, actually. It's actually a fun event to be at, and as you mentioned, the Yankee Rebel, Patty Ann, does a great job of hosting this event here for us, and I want to thank you guys for being here as well.
We're great crowd.
Proud to do it. I mean, it was incredible. Standing room only.
I know, I love that.
Try that beef Wellington. It's killer. How's the conference been for you overall, Mark? How do you see it?
It's been good. I try to come up here with the discussion, if you will. So we come up with some kind of a theme every year. This year was, you know, Macomb adds value to the region. Region adds value to Macomb to get people to realize within Macomb County how important the city of Detroit and other regional assets are to what we have. And yet to get others to realize, you know what, we're all in and trying to create an image and kind of branding what's going on with this region. But it's been overshadowed by this bankruptcy and the issue with Detroit Water.
It's taking the oxygen out of the room everywhere.
Every time.
But it's moving through, so we'll keep our fingers crossed.
We'll get through.
I saw that Macomb County got a little pop uptick in the latest census numbers. People are still making Macomb their home more and more.
The unfortunate reality is it's a redistribution of population that we're noticing, you know, from the region, in particular Detroit and some of Wayne County. Is it good for Macomb County? Absolutely. We welcome that. And, you know, we're always going to embrace that. But I would rather see the stabilization of the exodus of population out of Wayne County or the city of Detroit to figure out how do we bring people back to the region, you know, for job opportunities as well as for a great place to raise your family. So that's what I want to work on with this messaging of how do we lift up the region as opposed to just this, you know, selfish nature of, you know, make Macomb your home. I want to work on a branding, initiative, if we could, for the region itself.
Yeah, just give it time and don't give up. It'll never happen eventually.
Never will.
You know, when you took office, I remember you speaking about forming a group to help develop the waterfront, the parks, all in Macomb. I know you want to sign autographs later. Those are your fans. What's happened with that?
The Water Resource Advisory Council.
That's exactly it.
Yes, and it's our Blue Economy Initiative with the three underlining principles. How do we make sure that we're looking at the water quality, water access, and water attraction? These people have done incredible work, and whether it's those from SEMCOG, the DNR, the people from our Watershed Council in Macomb County, our planning department within Macomb County has taken the lead on that. Jerry Santoro is the guy that really has taken the lead for us. They've done so much good work in just a very short period of time and coming out with a master plan as to what we would like to see. It's already an incredible asset if you think about the 31 miles of shoreline.
I mean, you've got a natural resource there nobody else has.
That's the busiest freshwater lake than anywhere else in the country during the summer months. Nowhere else do they have more recreational boating and fishing than there on Lake St. Clair.
Lake of Palooza.
Well, again, I think we do, in fact, have a concert. It's actually an Aquapalooza concert that they have.
Phenomenal turnout last year.
Out in front of Mac and Ray and Belmar, two of the largest marinas.
We had trouble getting in there. It was so crowded.
It was a great time, too. And I got to tell you, when I look at what we have as far as those natural resource assets and how do we build upon that, it's the access and attractions that are going to bring people to that area. So, again, quality of life, I think, goes hand in hand with economic development. So if we can develop more quality of life opportunities with this Pure Michigan brand, focus on what we have in Macomb County, well, I'll tell you what, it's going to be a home run, and we're making those advancements.
There was some talk a while ago about developing that section of Lake St. Clair right in front of Selfridge Field to maybe put a boardwalk through there, develop it so more public access. Was that just talk, or is there something?
No, that's going to be reality. In fact, that's part of the master plan, and that's been moving forward. Actually, interesting you say that.
Just what's recently. The update?
Just recently, we just got the information about the testing of the soil in the lake itself, because that's where the actual trail is going to connect. We got a great trail system in Macomb County that started with Candace Miller in Harrison Township. She was the one that originated
the
trail
system. She's a heck of an advocate for you in Washington.
Oh, and she is. And in particular with the Selfridge, the Lake St. Clair. So we've been very fortunate. And then other federal dollars have tied in with the Orchard Trail to the north of the county. Even the county itself purchased portions of the old rail roads up there and turned that into a trail system. So the connectivity is coming back down through Harrison Township, right across the lakefront, and that's going to be kind of a boardwalk, trail system, if you will, right in front of Selfridge. So we've got that path cleared, and it's ready to go.
Chicago has had great success with its Navy Pier in downtown Chicago.
any plans to do something like that in Macomb County?
Ken, you must have read that study, because that's
no,
it's funny.
I never saw it.
I'm teasing with you.
We were just there.
It's incredible that you say that.
We were remarking that it was just nothing there. It was a dilapidated hulk, and now it's like a little city sticking out in the Lake Michigan.
We are talking about a pier district, as a matter of fact, with
really?
One of the municipalities along the lakefront that has some potential to become a reality in a short period of time. We need to be very cautious, and the reason I don't try to get too out front of this is because there's land acquisition that we're working on right now. And the minute people start hearing that the government is interested in acquiring land, the property value goes up immensely. So that's been the caution that we've had. We're trying not to get too far out in front of it, but there are some exciting projects, and that is one of them, as well as a river district in one of the communities where they're going to have economic development right around the actual riverfront in Clinton River in Macomb County. So,
a community yet to be named.
Yes, to be named, yes. Yeah. It's already been thought about, but it hasn't been named yet. So.
I had some friends from Texas visit, and we took them up Lakeshore Drive. We took them up Jefferson Avenue. They looked out. They said, "This is a lake?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "We can't even see the other side. In Texas, they can always see the other side. They are just bowled away by our natural resources and the waterfront that we have."
And Ken, you know what the sad reality to that is? There are people that live within this region and even in Macomb County that have never gone out to that shoreline and actually looked across that lake. And some people, when they do, they come across that same thought. They're thinking, "Holy cow, I never realized this was here." I mean, you know, people think of lakes. They think, you know, the smaller lakes and inland lakes. But Lake St. Clair is an incredible body of water. And, again, one that I think we underappreciate because we haven't had a lot of access to it. And that's what we're trying to correct right now.
The fifth Great Lake.
Yeah, well, that's we consider it as the gathering place of the Great Lakes water.
It's not even a big lake, but it's still phenomenal.
It is.
Priority items for the rest of the year and next year for you?
For me, as far as the county government, we're working on a couple things, structural issues when we talk about that, meaning the actual budgetary items. And we're working with the Board of Commissioners, and fortunately with the leadership of the board chair, Dave Flynn, and the rest of the commissioners, we've been very aggressive at trying to make sure that we're shoring up financial issues for the county and have done a great job over the past couple of years. We are in great financial shape in Macomb County. Budgets have been balanced without using any fund balance over the last 3 years. In fact, we're sitting on an $80 million surplus. Moving forward, now we're going to be able to fix some of the structural issues with our capital improvements plan that we're moving forward on, as well as work on one issue that is looming. We got a fully funded pension, but one of the other issues we're dealing with is the retirement system itself. That's about $300 million underfunded liability that we're dealing with, like many other municipalities throughout the entire country. But we think we have a plan, and we're going to be working with them to try to figure out how do we take care of that and get that liability off the books. And we think we have a pretty good plan ahead of us that we'll be making some announcements in the near future. But we're working with the board right now on that issue, and I think we got some good positive direction.
Resolution coming to fix the budget in Mount Clemens?
You know what? We want to work with the city of Mount Clemens, and we'll always be there to support them. But I try not to get too out front, allow them to make their decisions. When they decided to change their policing direction, obviously the Sheriff's Department was there to take over that responsibility. As a county government, we'll continue to support municipalities in Macomb County and provide services for them if and when necessary to help them with their financial needs as well.
You'll stick around for the next segment if you've got time?
Sure.
Great. You're listening to Repowering Michigan's Future here on WJR. Mark Hacknell will join us in the next segment. You're listening to WJR's Powering Michigan Future live at the 2014 Mackinac Policy Conference on Mackinac Island. We're also broadcasting live from the Yankee Rebel Tavern on Astor Street, right at the intersection of downtown Mount Clemens. Now, downtown Mackinac Island. I see Mark Tackle sitting here. I get excited about the Clem. Anyway, welcome back, everyone. We are joined by a couple of other guests. We have Mark Hackle still with us. Also joining us tonight is Tom Bowers, Director of Educational Outreach for the Electrical Industry Training Center. Good to have you. And Jim Jacobs, President of Macomb County Community College. Welcome both. Tom, let's just start with you. Tell us about the STEM education, K through 12. Apprenticeship models versus skilled trades. We heard a lot about STEM, but we also heard a lot today here on Mackinac about the skilled trades program, which the governor says there are 70,000 openings they can't fill right now.
Yeah, well, it's an opportunity, and you know, certainly the STEM thing that has been talked about ties in with us because there is a lot of math used in the skilled trades. You know, people don't see it that way, but really it's practical application of algebra and trigonometry and geometry. You know, so that increased focus in the K-12 field is good for us also because, you know, we have people feeding in. They need to have those skills.
You're filling the pipeline early then.
Well, yeah, and that's every time we have a tour come through the school and I talk to those kids, they say, look, if I had to sum up what your approach should be as a high school student, it's more math, you know, really focus on that because it pays off regardless of what career you go into. You know, there's been a lot of talk about apprenticeship here at the conference, and people might be surprised to learn that we've been doing that for 100 years. You know, we have a partnership between the union and the contractors that all those things that the governor addressed this afternoon about curriculum development and, you know, looking at the education and placement of people into positions is all part of something that we have been doing for ages now. You know, and so a student coming into our program, really kind of one of the fundamental differences between our way of doing things and some other things, because we're industry-based, because we work in partnership between the union and the contractors, that person gets placed from day one in the apprenticeship. You know, they're out there actually making a paycheck, accruing their benefits, and learning the trade simultaneously.
You know, there are so many kids today who are trying to figure out what to do in life, but if you could walk them through your facility, let them see what it's all about. Have a whole flock of new students coming in ready to go.
Well, they would be amazed, you know, because folks think, well, an electrician, that's a person that changes switches and receptacles and light bulbs, you know, and nothing could be further from the truth, really, because, you know, we do education for fiber optic technicians, for data technicians, for folks that are electricians but want to get into instrumentation and controls, building automation systems, advanced lighting controls. You know, and I'm sure a lot of people see this, that you have this merger going on between energy technology and data technology, and really the challenge for us on an ongoing basis is to figure out what new pieces do we need to incorporate into that to make sure that our membership stays current with their level of knowledge to handle these new installations.
Jim Jacobs, who's from Macomb Community College, yes, who joins us. Thank you for coming.
You've
been working to connect your students with career opportunities in specific trade areas. Tell us about some of the things you've got going on.
Well, there are many things that we do, and one of them is to start with students who are in the high schools. We have a big program with all the 22 high schools in Macomb County through the Intermediate School District called Early College. We have almost 600 students who are coming out of the high schools, taking classes at Macomb, and several of them are going to graduate with a high school degree and an associate's degree at the same time. And what they do at the college is they take a number of courses, but what we're trying to do now is focus them on some of the occupational classes. One of the big things that I think we try to do more than other institutions is look at student success as being a job, employment, and a career pathway in the future. So we're trying to get our students to focus on that. It isn't just going to school that's going to get you a job. It's having a goal, a career goal, being active, you know, getting an apprenticeship. And many of the apprentices that are going through the electrical apprenticeship program, I think, are the kinds of people going to go through degrees and may even go on to four-year degrees. But the time is now to merge what we're doing into the degree programs with what we are doing in terms of getting training on the job for individuals. But the first thing we need our students to do is think about their careers and think about what course of study is going to lead them to success.
So how do you do that? Do you basically expose them to a little bit of everything to see what they're interested in?
Yeah, you go through three stages. The first stage is, you know, just knowledge, learning about the different careers. The second stage is connect to one of those careers, go on site, take a tour of a place, see what electricians do. I mean, all the things that were just described, which are new fields, which people don't even think about, don't even associate with, you know, construction or electrical worker union issues. And then the final is, how do you advance them? Not only to get their first job. I think we're very good at getting people first jobs.
Placement's pretty good.
Placement is very good. The question is career. I mean, if you look at our county executive, he started in the sheriff's department, but he
Mark, I didn't know you were an electrical engineer.
No, he wasn't. He was 18 years old, trying to find my way.
You know, that you started a job, but then do you see it as a career, pathway? And the most interesting thing now to talk about is that 20 years ago we emphasized manufacturing, and manufacturing has gone through such a transition that today, when you talk about manufacturing, you're really talking about advanced technology careers.
You're talking about automation.
You're talking about automation. And what's interesting about that is that we have now employers who are looking for people. And yet, because a lot of families have gone through a certain downturn in the auto industry, they don't want their kids to become... So it's kind of a great paradox. They don't want their kids to become part of the auto industry, yet... At this point, the auto industry has changed entirely.
It's where the growth is right now.
Yeah. Not only the growth in high tech. If you want to look at if you're interested in information technology, the largest employer of information technology in the United States is the auto industry.
Amazing. Mark, how does the county as an executive tie into all of this? How do you put it in a bundle, put a cherry on top, put it on a bow on it and say, guys, do you ever think you could be an electrical engineer?
Well, the fortunate reality is we have what it takes here in Macomb County, as was just mentioned. I mean, you've got the skilled trades that do their apprenticeship programs. You've got the community college, which I argue is the... we have one of the greatest two-year institutions in the entire country with Macomb Community College. And Jim is the president. He gets us. I mean, he really has been very engaged in working with the educational institutions, that being the high schools, to get them to realize, you know what, it's not all about, you know, parents trying to get kids just to go away for 4 years. And these kids go away for 4 years, get a four-year degree, they come back, and really they're
and they don't move out of the
bills
house.
To pay, and they don't have a career. I was fortunate, as Jim had mentioned, I started off at 18, went through the same process, wasn't sure. I went to Macomb Community College, got a two-year degree, then got my bachelor's degree at Wayne State. I took it to another level, but I realized this is what I wanted. I found a passion in it, and obviously went into law enforcement.
Before we run out of time on this, Tom, just bring this all into a close. What's the next step?
Well, really, the next step, as Jim mentioned, you know, start getting our kids to look at career paths, you know, rather than, to me, you know, when I went through school, I didn't have a clue what I wanted to do.
How many kids do?
You know, it's how many kids do. And I think it's lack of exposure to what really goes on in the workplace. You know, if we could be more effective at getting that out there and having them see, oh, yeah, this has got more to it than I thought. But I think the other thing is tying together that, look, whether you do automotive, whether you do construction, whether you do engineering, whatever it happens to be, the basis behind it, that math and science, is the same for all of those disciplines.
The numbers are the numbers. Gentlemen, thank you all for joining the segment.
You.
Have a great conference, and again, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
You're listening to Powering Michigan's Future, live at the Yankee Rebel Tavern here on Mackinac Island. We'll be back on WJR with more right after this.
Hello, I'm Shep.
And I'm Mark.
And we're the friendly board certified entomologist from
Cressa. Lease, buy, build.
Welcome back to WJR's Powering Michigan Future, live from the 2014 Mackinac Policy Conference here in beautiful downtown Mackinac Island. We are joined now by Barbara Rossman, the president and the CEO of Henry Ford Macomb Hospitals. Barbara, good to have you back again. Good to see you.
It's great to see you, Ken. Thank you so much.
We appreciate you coming back again. Maria Silimianos Sherman, president of Omega. Did I get it?
You did. Very good.
I hate when people mispronounce my name, so I work so hard at getting everybody else
done. Thank
you. Good to have you. Ray Shore, CEO of Macomb County Chamber.
Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure to have you back. Barbara, let's start with you first. So much has been said, so much angst about Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act. Everybody just... Well, let's just leave it at that. From your perspective at Henry Ford, what's going to happen? How are these two things going to change health care and how we deliver it?
Well, I think while a lot has truly changed, it's a very exciting time, and we all have to be very used to change. Health care is becoming very challenging, but also I think there's the opportunity for us to all become much more efficient and ensure health care is delivered close to home. One of the very exciting things for Henry Ford Health System and our Macomb organization is that 25 years ago, Henry Ford Health System initiated the first electronic medical record that was known in healthcare. And in Macomb, throughout our system, in Henry Ford Health System, throughout our system, we have been implementing an integrated electronic medical record for both inpatient and outpatient services across our system. In our Macomb organization, we came live last month, actually.
Wow.
And so it's a very exciting time for us. And what this does is it really provides not only continuity in the care you receive and availability of that electronic medical record across all systems and to any providers, actually, that use the Epic system, which is what we use across our system, but also we have implemented part of the record called MyChart, which allows you as a patient to have access to your health record wherever you want it.
So it doesn't stand for something. It really is your record.
It is your record. That
so you can really
you
look at your own electronic records at home?
It is. And let me share with you what you can do.
Okay.
You can see your test results, which include lab, x-ray. If you have an inpatient stay, you can see your discharge summary. You can see the notes from your outpatient visits that your physician offers for you. You can connect with your physician, send a message, a secure message, and get feedback from your physician or their assistants within 24 hours. I mean, it's just amazing.
And I don't have to be a doctor to understand them or read them, do I?
No, you do not. No, you do not. It keeps you well-informed of information that is truly yours and yours alone to have.
Wow.
With your care provider.
And it's only Wednesday yet, or Thursday, so what's going to happen next week? You just never know. Maria, as a small business owner, how do you feel about the opportunities in the business climate in Macomb County and across the state of Michigan? Things getting better?
Things are amazing. Actually, with the leadership that we have here in Michigan, a lot of wonderful things have happened over the last couple of years. What do businesses need? What I found is now all of a sudden we need to fill these positions that are available with various employers. And what Omega does is we assist those employers in finding the appropriate people for those positions. We focus on things like engineering, IT, administration, accounting and finance. And these are positions that the employers are really looking for good people, and we help them. And I think things are great in Macomb County. I'm seeing a lot of positive things. And I also say that Mark Hackle is a big part of that. He's done some amazing things for our community.
And does good billboards, too.
I didn't see him. Did you see him?
I did.
Did you?
He's smaller in real life than he is on that billboard, though. His head's smaller, too. But did you ever think from 2009 till now, we would have such a turnaround that now there's a demand for positions we can't fill?
I don't think any of us saw this coming, quite frankly. I think we were so busy with dealing with the problems that we had at that time that we never thought that. I mean, it's a great problem to have, don't get me wrong, but no, I don't think that we saw this coming, but it's a good thing.
Grace, what are some of the major initiatives you're working on this year at the Chamber in Macomb County to help business move along?
Actually, there's three things, kind of major projects we're working on. One is more public policy oriented, and that will begin probably in another month doing candidate interviews, which is always very fun for the upcoming elections.
You say that with a gleam in your eye. I'm wondering how much fun it's going to be.
It actually is fun. It's very interesting.
Oh, okay.
It's very interesting when you sit sort of one-on-one, or sit with a committee of maybe six or eight and have that candidate in front of you. They have a tendency to tell you sometimes more than they really should, but you get some real insight into who they are and what they stand for. And of course, we're looking for business-friendly candidates, so it's a good opportunity to do that screening process.
Ladies, I'm going to put this question to all three of you. Barbara, we'll start with you. Overall, how is the economy in the southeastern Michigan area, the Tri-County area, and Macomb County area?
Well, I'm very optimistic. I think the governor this afternoon showed us a picture on a slide that
the
was
half
a glass half, the glass that had water in it.
I think
and
he's
it
got
was
a,
at the halfway
he's
mark.
He's got a lot of potential for stand-up comedy after his governor's raid. I mean,
and he challenged us with, do we believe it's half empty or half full? And personally, I'm very optimistic. I always think it's half full. I think we've recognized the issues. I think we're dealing with the issues. And I think as Detroit becomes stronger, all our communities become stronger. As our communities become stronger, Detroit becomes stronger.
Maria, you're on the front lines. You're trying to fill positions that are popping open daily. Is the economy, I mean, did you ever think Michigan would be ahead of the rest of the nation in this department?
No. No, I didn't, which is really sad because I'm a huge cheerleader for Michigan. I was born and raised in Macomb County and can't imagine living anywhere else. I'm very much in line with what Barbara is saying. I am hugely optimistic. I'm seeing some amazing things. Again, I go back to the leadership that we're very honored to have running the state. And it's all good. It's all very good.
Were you there for the governor's keynote speech this afternoon?
I was not. We actually sponsored an event with the Chamber Alliance on May 16th when he spoke in Macomb County, and he's just an exceptional speaker.
I mean, I counted at least three standing ovations.
Oh, for sure.
He walked on the stage, they wouldn't shut
for
up.
Sure.
I mean, they were just clapping and clapping.
Sure.
And clapping.
He's just, you know what, he's not... I'm almost hesitant to say he's not a politician. He's a smart businessman. He understands what our state needs. He's just focused on our problems and focused on how to get us where he needs us to be or he'd like us to be.
And it's like we say in the radio business, we don't care where a good idea comes from,
right,
as long as it's on our ear and the governor wants it, you know, put to work for his state, our state.
A matter of fact, he's just no nonsense and he's an exceptional leader.
Grace, business in Macomb County, are you still bullish about it for the future?
I am, and I guess I thought we were in a slump, we were in a recession, but I always thought that we would come out of it. Michigan has great talent. Not only its workers, but it's people who patent ideas, have great inventions, great innovations, and it was just a matter of time. And look at today. Today, you can barely fill some of the positions that businesses are looking for. So I'm very optimistic, and I continue to be optimistic.
If I could add one more
comment.
Go ahead,
Barbara.
I think one of the things that resonated through the conference, too, and that the governor has articulated in many of our leaders across southeastern Michigan have is I believe we've got the business models now that are going to make us really the comeback, as he talks about we're the comeback state.
You mean the business models now are leaner, meaner, trimmer, and all of a sudden the
innovations, the entrepreneurship has business models with it, and it's starting to be realized.
Maria, you think that too?
Absolutely. I think that what we've gone through has made us rethink how we do business. And it's made us become far more leaner, take a look at our business model and make the corrections moving forward. I don't think that we're going to make the same mistakes that we've done in the past.
Grace, as
Absolutely.
We wrap up here. All right. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Another Mackinac Island Policy Conference successfully done. We want to say thank you to Barbara Rossman, President and CEO of Henry Ford Macomb Hospital. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Maria, thank you for joining us tonight. Fill all those positions out there. Get people jobs. And over at the Macomb County Chamber, Grace, great work you do. Keep
thank
up
you.
The good work. And we thank you for coming.
Thank
You've
you.
Been listening to us live coming from the Yankee Revel Tavern in beautiful Mackinac Island, powering Michigan's future, right here on News Talk 760 WJR in Detroit, the great voice of the Great Lakes. Stand by. News is next.